ahead and have a seat. We're doing this series called Filled, and I want to start with some questions this morning, just a little interaction to let me know a little bit about you. I want to talk about how you fill up, and so let me just run it through this way. When you're getting gas, how many of you are half tankers? Do you know what a half tanker is? They like get to half a tank and they start getting nervous. They got to find a gas station. Do we have any half tankers in here? We have wow, that's more than the first service. How many of you are like, you're like, I'm not a half tanker, but I'm a quarter tanker. Do we have any quarter? We have a few quarter tankers. All right, I know this is the big one. How many of you do not get gas? Do not until the light comes on. Do we have any, like, light has to be on in order to get gas? We have, there's another group. There is another group. How many of you are the ones that the light goes on, but in your mind, you know you have 30-plus more miles to get gas? Anybody, like, you don't get gas when the light's on. You get gas when it's 30 miles. All right, yeah. We definitely get gas differently. Okay, let me change it this way. How many of you, are, when you're getting gas, you have to. You have to go to the next dollar if you miss this. You have to get it on 00. You're getting $10. You got to be 00. If you get $10, you got to go to 11 because you went over. We have a few of those, okay? How many of you are like, I'm not a filler-upper? How many of you are filler-uppers? You're like, you get the gas, you're like, just fill it up. That's the term you know, fill it up. How many of you are like, you just are 25ers, 20ers, you don't like fill it up. You have a number, and you're going to get a certain number of gas. Anybody like, just like, I'm a $20, I'm a 50, okay. How many of you, like when you go to the gas station, you make sure it's not on the 00, because what you want to do is you want to go into the store, buy some donuts and snacks without your wife knowing. Anybody do that? We have a few of you. If you don't, this is a wise thing to learn, all right? So what you do is you don't put it on 00. You put it on a weird number, and then you can buy as much food in the store as you want because you just put it all on one check, and your wife or spouse may never know. And here's where we're at. We may fill up in different ways. In fact, I forgot one of them. And this one I know happens in some. How many of you, like, your spouse, well, we're like, you talk to your spouse. Your spouse believes in the gas fairy. Anybody a gas fairy? Like, they don't get gas. What they do is they just change cars. They like, pull in on red. They, like, I don't want to get gas. I'm going to just take the other car to work today. And then anybody believe in gas fairies? We have some teenagers, young adults, who are definitely gas fairy-ish. Sometimes, and my wife isn't that way, but it does feel like every time I get in the vehicle, there, the gas is, the light's on. Every time, it's like the light is on. Here's two, we may get gas differently. And we may walk through that whole, but there's two irrefutable laws that I want to mention to you. One is this: if you don't fill up, you will run out of gas. Let me just say it again. It's an irrefutable law. You will bounce against this law and bounce back, all right? You're not going to win this battle with your car. If you don't put gas in the tank, you will eventually run out of gas. Here we are this morning, all right? We're not talking about cars. We're talking about you. That is the same law with us. If we don't figure out ways to fill our tanks up, we will eventually run out of gas. And that can show up. That accident, that place of emptiness can show up in a lot of different ways. It may look differently relationally, financially, emotionally, but the truth is if we're running on E all the time, you will run out of gas, and there will be repercussions. The second irrefutable law is this: it does matter what you fill with, right, in your vehicles. It does matter what you use to fill your tank. If you're trying to get your car to be filled, if you're putting water in it, it's not going to work. If you're putting soda in it, we're not Back to the Future yet. You know, that movie where they can put all sorts of trash in it. We're still in the world of basically gasoline. And even when you pull up to the gas pump, I don't know if you've ever done this. Sometimes there's like two nozzles. There's the one that you're supposed to use, and then there's the diesel. And I'm just telling you, you put the wrong one in the wrong engine, it may run for a while okay, but eventually it works itself out towards destruction. Does it make sense? Or maybe you've done this. You ever have like a small engine, like a leaf blower or like a chainsaw, and you thought you put in the right gas? There's like buckets of gas in your garage, and you thought you put it in, and for a while it's running smooth, and all of a sudden it starts sputtering. And even next, it could be even a long time. Next spring, you wake up or you get up to use that small engine, and it's locked up because you used the wrong fuel. Here we are this morning. We are at the end of August, at a time in our life, in a time of the year where we should be ready. We should be, right? I mean, the summer, whether you're a part of school or whether you're not, is a time where we look forward to summer. We yearn for our vacations. We yearn for the times at the beach. And we're thinking, man, if I could only get to summer, I can get rejuvenated. And so we get into this mode of, I'm going to survive this period of time to get to vacation so that I can get ready to go again. And we're past vacation for most of us in here. I mean, how many of you are past vacation? Anybody past vacation people? Not very. How many of you still have vacation to look forward to? All right, we're half and half. Some of you are retired, and we could just say you're on vacation all the time. Listen, we're at this point in the year where we're getting ready for the fall, we're ready to get, our kids are getting back in the city, and yet we're walking into that, and for many of you in here, your tank, if you had to really say where you are with your gas gauge, you're not full. You're probably not even half. Many people are in here, are just, even though you've just been on vacation or you've just been to the beach, you just filled up in a way, you're still feeling empty. You're still feeling like, if I can only get to the weekend, and today's Sunday. Do you see the problem with that? Like, today's Sunday morning, and you're already thinking, okay, if I can just get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday out of the way, I can actually be full again. And it works for a while. You know, vacations are good. We love vacations. And it fills you for a while, but Monday comes. Your email bin gets filled. Your projects are still piling up on the desk. We took 7 weeks on sabbatical. We took 7 weeks to rest, to refill. And I think it was like Wednesday, my wife texted me saying, can we go back to that? You know, I'm thinking Thursday, I'm like, all right, I missed that. Because we live life at such a pace that it just drains us. See, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you're going through, you're still burning gas. Let me put it this way. If your life is in chaos this morning, and this is crazy, you're burning like you're just it's draining you quick. But if your life is good and everything's like just lining up, like you're the golden boy, golden girl right now, like everything's like clicking, you're still running, you're still draining. It doesn't matter whether your life is good or bad. You're still burning gas. Now, it does matter how fast it burns. And so the question I came in with this morning is, how do we ever fill up? How? Because here's how I see Scripture. As I look at our theme verse is John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Like, God designed us for, like, vibrancy. He designed us for this, like, fullness of life, like excitement over life, as in, like, man, this is good, this is incredible, I'm ready to go. And yet so many people are not living there, they're living here of survival. There's a disconnect. And in this series, as we're gearing up for the fall, what I wanted to be was a time where we're like, how do we fill up so that we're ready to go, that we're ready to live life, we're enjoying life again. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. That's where we're going to be this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. But we're going to do a little differently. I'm going to work backwards through the passage. Paul is writing a letter here. Paul is one of the New Testament guys. He saw on the Damascus Road this bright light. God gets his attention. He slaps him across the head and says, come follow me. I want you to be my apostle. I want you to be my sent one. I want you to start churches. I want you to create change in people's lives. And so he kind of travels the world, starts churches in different places, and finally This is the book of Ephesians. This is written to the city of Ephesus, to the church in Ephesus. And while he's writing this letter, he's in prison. All right, he's in the Roman prison, and he's writing. This is not coming from a guy whose everything is working out the way he thought it was. This is from a guy who has some struggle going on. Okay, just come up with that first. And he writes this prayer for the Ephesians that I think is critical for us. We're going to start verse 20 and 21. Some of my favorite verses. You may have heard me bring these verses up. It says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This says this. You know, God is able to do more than we pray. So when we're praying, we're asking God for our list of things that we think will be good for us, that will fill us, that will bring joy to our life. When we're praying over the things that we want taken away, our prayers are too small, God says. Like, he has bigger things in store for us. Like, we can never pray big enough for what God has designed for. Our prayers are, like, baseline, and he says, I have a lot more. Now, to him who's able to do it more than we ask, in fact, it doesn't say just more. It says, do you get that phrase? Immeasurably more. You can't even measure the difference. It's, like, gigantic. Immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Even what you can see, when you're writing your story, when you're picturing your life, it says, God is able to do more than you can imagine. He is able to accomplish more. And this is what it says: according to his power that is at work within us. He says this: according to his power, that power that is all through Scripture, the power of the Red Sea, the power that did the 10 plagues, the power when Jesus healed, when Jesus walked on water, the power that we see in creation, the power that we see at work in our world, that power, he wants to be on display. Now listen to the phrase. Do you get the location of this? Within us. So this is the picture. Paul says, you know, I know I'm in prison, but I want you to know that God is planning. God is working to do more than you ask or imagine. His power is great, and it's not according to our strength that he's doing it. He has an incredible story that is at work within us. And then it says this: to him be glory in the church. This is what it means. It says, and may God do many only God stories in our lives. If you're not familiar with only God stories, like those times when you're like, that can only be from God. Like, that's a God story. That's something that God did, not us. No, so let me paint the picture. As we're looking at this idea of being filled, this is the place that God designed us for. This place of more than he can ask or imagine. And yet, isn't there a disconnect sometimes of like, that's not where I am. I am in struggle. I am in frustration. I am in day-to-day. I'm in survival mode. I'm not feeling like God's incredible story. I'm just trying to survive my story. So either a couple things can be, either that's not God, that's not truth, or there's some kind of disconnect in me or in my life, or I'm not seeing it right. There's something wrong here. And so let me just jump back a verse as we're walking backwards. It says this in verse 19. In order to get to that story, the story of God's work in our life, this is what it says. The gas that gets us there is that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That if you want to know what's supposed to fill your tank, it's not vacations, it's not jobs, it's not financial. Because if you want to know what's going to really drive you and bring life and bring overflow, is that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Like, okay, my kids, so where I sit at my kitchen table is next to the refrigerator. We have one of those ice machines, which is the coolest invention ever. I love my ice machine. Like that old thing where you had to crack the ice and pour it out. I couldn't go back to that. Like, we love our ice and water. So I'm sitting next to the ice and water. And my kids at times will say, can you get me a drink? You know, it's like 2 feet from them, but I'm 4 feet away, so I'm closer. And so I have to go get my cup, fill it up. And so in order to annoy them, I don't just fill it halfway. I don't fill it three quarters. I fill it to the brim. I fill it so that, like, it's overrunning my hands. I fill it so full that when I move it across their plate, it spills into their food. So they know that they should never ask me again to fill their drink. when he says, I want to fill you to the measure of the fullness of God, it's really picturing this idea of not just a little bit of God, not just a halfway, half tank. He says, I want you to be overflowing with what God wants to do in, I want, with God's presence, with who God is. I want you to be overflowing with, I want you to the fullness, all the way to the top. This, if you're looking back at the gas illustration, like you, what you go, you fill it, it clicks, you fill it again, it clicks again, you fill it again, you it clicks, and then all of a sudden it starts pouring out over the top. Then you know you're done. That's what God said. I want, if you want to know how to have vibrancy of life, how to really experience God's plan, not your plan for your life, you need to be filled. The gasoline that needs to drive you is God himself, Jesus himself. May you be filled with it, so that the question becomes, how do we get there? Right? How do we get from the fullness of God from where we are? And so that's where he comes in with this, the next, the preceding verses. It starts in verse 14. Again, this is Paul's prayer. He says this, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Just stop for a second. Because I know it's easy to get to the next part. Like, why are you kneeling? Just stop that name Father, because I think it's a critical one. I kneel before the God who is my dad. And I know you all have had different fathers, and so you may have a picture of God based on that. But I'm talking about God, this is God. This is he's the perfect father. He is the perfect father, and we're not coming to some judge. We're not coming to some business CEO. We're coming to our dad for fullness. All right, this is who he's talking about. Verse 15: from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. He's basically saying, you know, we have his last name. Now, many of you think that Jesus' last name is Christ. It's not really his last name. It's a description of him. We don't have his last name. But like in our family, it means something to us to be a schoolie, right? I mean, you live in our house. We do life together. We laugh together. We go on vacation together. They have the last name. There's expectations with it. They derive their name from our family. They're schoolies. We have we are God's child. And we have all the blessings of God's children. And it keeps going. I pray, that out of his glorious riches, out of his wealth, out of the King of Kings, all that is at his disposal, out of that wealth, that he may, here's number one, he may strengthen, if you want to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. He's saying this, if you want to be filled to the fullness of the measure of the fullness of God, he wants to come in and he wants to provide power, strength. We can try to get our strength from a lot of things. I want to be the one who provides strength. Over in Philippians chapter 4, Paul's talking to the Philippian church. He says, man, I know what it's like to have lots of money. I know what it's like to have no money. I know what it's like to have plenty of food on the table. I know what it's like to not have any food on the table. And I know that this one verse, he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Like when you're climbing that mountain, you're dealing with all these circumstances and you're getting exhausted, but he says, at your disposal within you, not talking about the circumstances, I'm talking about what he's doing within you is a strength that has been on display in our world for a long time. Inside of you, available to you. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, I want to be on display in your life. That strength, notice the phrase, it says that strength is at work inside of you, in your inner being. So we have to draw strength from that. That's where we root ourselves in that. We allow God to be our strength, because it's a whole lot easier for us to do ourselves, to try. Let me jump ahead to the next one. It says, not only is that power available to you, verse 7 says this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He says this, I also want you to know that God wants to be inside of you. This may sound really strange to you who may have never been to church, or you're like, that's just really weird, God being inside of us. That kind of sounds like a poltergeist thing or something. At first it sounds strange, but really, if you really look at it, it's pretty amazing. The God who used to be out there, the God who used to be in Jerusalem at the temple, the God who you used to have to go to church for, is now the same God who wants to take up residence in our life. He wants to be the one who fills us. He wants to be the one who dwells in us. He wants to be the one who is speaking in his quiet voice to us. He wants to be interconnected to you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And that relationship comes from the flow of insight. He wants to be right there. And let me just point this out to you. It doesn't say anything about what you do in order for him to dwell in you. Because a lot of you will be like, God can dwell in me when I get it all together. When I get rid of this junk in my life, I clean up this spot in my life, when I have this right. I think God, the offer is that God wants to dwell in the midst of your junk. In the midst, there is no offer of getting it right together. He says, I want to move in as your hoarders. I want to move in as your sewing room has like junk all over the place. Things that you haven't touched for years. I want to move in when you're in the living room and there's plates all over the place. There's pizza boxes and like mold on stuff. I want to move into the kitchen where there's all, you don't have to be perfect in order to have Christ dwelling in you. All you need to be is willing to let Christ dwell in you. And you know what he does? He starts cleaning up. He's the one that starts changing and transforming us. He starts dealing with our junk. He starts dealing with our wounds and our frustrations and all the things we've been carrying for so long. He starts doing the work rather than us trying to read a book at Barnes & Noble to solve our issues. He wants to dwell among us, within us. And here's the one. I was sitting up last night and I was walking through the message, and this is the one that I know that most of you know, but yet we don't know. And let me just read it to you first. And my prayer last night was, God, help me to describe this, just a little glimpse of what's there. Help me to, it's so hard to share it with you, but it's so incredible to experience. Let me just read the verse to you. It says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. See, I think this is a fact that our world, everyone in our world is looking for love. I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm talking about being valued by someone. If you would go to the radio station, I bet if you started your radio station, most of the songs are about some version of love. I mean, Chicago. Well, even the one, what is that one? Even the other ones, the breakup songs, you know, shot through the heart and you're to blame. You gave love a bad, even those ones are really about love. I mean, you watch movies. And it's about some kind of relationship, some people yearning for love. Not just the romantic comedies that I am forced to watch. I'm talking about even you remember the movie Castaway? Castaway is a movie. Tom Hanks is in it. He's on this island. And you may think it's about this guy who is shipwrecked. It's about someone who's looking for love. He is so much looking for love and connection that he takes a volleyball, Wilson, right? Isn't that his name? Wilson puts a face to it and starts talking and building a relationship with Wilson. It's not about being alone on an island. It's about relationship. We all are looking to be loved. Even I know the men in here, because I know I'm a man. You're like, we're talking about love at church. Why do we always have to talk about love and love, you know? And we have this kind of romanticized version of love. I'm talking about value. Because even you are looking for someone to respect you and to value. That's why some of you women and men work so hard at work trying to get promotions, because you just want someone to value. That's why so many of people are jumping from relationship to relationship looking to be loved. That's what we have in our world all around us. Young people, adults, seniors, looking to be loved. It is a soul thing that we are hungry to be loved. And I got to tell you, there is a God who wants to fill that ache in your soul. You know, at night, we have a 3.5-year-old. And so some nights we go put her to bed and she'll like, Daddy, sing. And so she'll pick the song. And there's one song that always, like, there's a lot of songs that mean something. There's one song that has a little power to it. And it's a song I sang since Sunday school, since when I was like young. And it's so easy to jump over the song, be like, that's such a kidsy song, and we're moving on. But there are some nights I sit in there singing this song over me and over this girl and thinking about how powerful and true this song is, even though it's so simple. And it goes something like this. And if you know it, you can sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And I sit there and I sing that song to her, with her, and it's like there is no other truth that really has that impact like that. It's what the church is built on. That God does not love you for what you have done, because you have never done enough. God does not love you because your life is in order, because your life is a mess. God loves you because he loves you, because he is love. And he wants to fill that need, that ache inside of us, of needing someone's appreciation, needing someone's attention. He says, I want to pay attention to you. I want to fill that need in you. I may give you gifts of love from other people, but I want to be the one that fills your tank. This is what it says. I want you to grasp. I want you to put your mind around how big and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ. Like you can't even put your mind around how much he cares for you. The plan, you know, when you look at this, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He wants to do immeasurably more than all we ask because he is love. That love is the tank that drives, that fills us. Because I know that in the midst of all my craziness and all the things that may be going wrong in my life, that God loves me, and that's all that everything else will turn out okay. That I can trust him. That he is good. That in the midst of not understanding his plan and his story, that he still loves me. That has not. I can view that in the face of the cross, that he gave up his son for me on the cross. He loved me so much that his most valuable thing in his life, his son, he says, I am going to let my son die for you. And in view of the cross, I know that he will graciously give me all things. That's what the Bible says. That I may not be living in all those things right now, but there will be a day when I experience all those things. So I want you to grasp. This is the next verse. If you're an English person, you may get what's wrong with this verse. It says this, verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Okay, I don't know if you see this or not. That you may know this love that surpasses, that you can know what you can't know. Do you get the little dynamic here? That you may think you know, but you don't know. But you know what he's really saying? Experiencing it is a greater knowledge than just knowing it. I mean, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and so I can talk about marriage to a young couple coming about ready to get married, and they love each other. They love each other. They have the fireworks going off in their heads, you know, and they're going to live happily ever after. I can sit down with them, and I can describe marriage to them, but until you're in the middle of it, can you really understand it? I say this, I went to college for 4 years at a Bible college, preparing myself for ministry, and I say, I learned more in my first 6 months of ministry, of the experience, than I did 3.5, 4 years of studying books. You can know the song, Jesus Loves Me, and grow up in a church, and go to church every week, and never really experience, know it. To really find yourself, to have that fill your tank up. And that let that be enough to you. That his value of you is enough. And let me end this way. As he fills us to the measure of the fullness of God, he fills us with exactly with what we need. Let me explain it this way. If you're feeling hopeless today, like you're just like your story is like almost like a period on the end of it. You're just like this. I cannot salvage this. I am done. I have no hope. I have no way of going for this. You know what the Bible says? That He is the God of all hope. And that hope He wants to give us a flow. How about this one? If you're just like, I just don't feel strong enough. I can't survive this anymore. You know, He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You're like, I have such wounds. I have such pain. I have such sorrow in my life. I'm looking for comfort. He says this, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those with any trouble, with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You're like, I'm just looking for peace. I want peace. He says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your request again. This is what it says. And the peace of God will transcend your heart. Do you get this? All that we need flows out of Him. You're looking for joy? He's the God of joy. If you're looking for hope, He's the God of hope. If you're looking for peace, He's the God of peace. If you're looking for love, He's the God of love. The very things that our soul is striving for, is fighting for, is the very things that He provides. And you're like, but you didn't tell me how to get it. You didn't tell me how to get there. You know, it's kind of because it's a gift that you receive. Does that make sense? It's not something we work for. It's not five steps to a happy life. It's a place where we live. It's a place where we just like, God, this is available to me, and I just want to live there. It's something that He wants to pour out on us. He wants you to experience His love. He wants you to experience His power. He wants you to experience His presence. So I want you to, within you, to know, I want to fill your tank. I want you to be filled to the fullness and measure of God. And this is not something you earn. This is a place you live. You know, I was during sabbatical, I guess you'd call it journaling. I was writing down some thoughts. And I have no idea why my mind went here, but this is, and I'm not even going to say it right, what I wrote, because I'm not going to find it, but this is what my mind went to, and I think this is true. I cannot experience the fullness of God without the reign of God. I cannot experience the fullness of God without the reign of Him in my life, letting Him reign, letting Him have, do you understand? It's a gift that I get to live in. And as we head toward fall, as we head toward this crazy season, getting back in cycles and getting back on, you know, getting the kids ready for school and sending them off and getting the job, and we're feeling, I just want to encourage you that there is a God who wants to fill your tank. And what happens when He fills your tank, as we keep going back to Him, God, I need more strength, I need to experience your love, what happens is, as we get there, we don't live a Christianity of like sorrow. Does it make sense? We live it. When we get the fullness of God's, what He wants to do in our life, there is a joy that overflows from it. You know, I was coming back from sabbatical, and in the middle of it, in this middle of rest and just being, this probably won't even make sense to you, but just not doing anything really special, there was an enjoyment of life that I hadn't experienced in a while. And I'm not saying I don't enjoy life. I'm saying it was a gift from God to just rest in His presence, just to rest in His goodness. It wasn't something I had to earn by being your pastor, by preaching so well and having so many people in attendance. It had nothing to do with that. That the filling that He wanted, the joy that He wanted to give me, had everything to do with just being with Him. And that's what God's offering to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before You knowing that our tanks, and some in this room, are like on E. In fact, they're driving further than they probably should. But their light's been on for a while. It's been blinking. Their life is sputtering a little bit, and they're looking for a place to fill up. And God, I pray that this morning we come to You, that You will fill them with the fullness of Your presence. They'll experience Your love, Your grace, Your mercy, Your peace. And that we come to You for our needs and not someplace else. So God, may You just do a work in us. May You dwell in us. And help us just to enjoy your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.